much about.
You got to put it into perspective.
And so now, as the great Bruce Buffer says, it's time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Who's ready to have some fun?
Me.
Oh, sorry, wrong house. How horrifying for you.
No, how horrifying for you. You're actually in the right place. Yeah, I ordered you. And I'll be honest, there's no party going on here.
Okay. What is going on here?
Sadness, bleak despair, that sort of thing.
And now,
dong, dong, dong.
Hey, Allie.
Our feature presentation.
What's that, Allie?
Was that me?
Saying dong, yeah.
Why was I saying dong?
Why are you never not saying dong?
So much dong.
So much dong coming out of your mouth.
Into,
I did want to say that.
You take a pause.
I thought about it, but I thought it was sexually explicit, so I thought I would not. But it's pretty accurate.
Since when?
Right? It's a new bean.
What have you done with bean?
I don't ever like to be the guy who causes a girl with a finger on the button to hit the button. I don't ever want to be that guy. So, anyway, so that's Allie's tribute to dong, so welcome.
Perfect.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 25th of April.
Oh, it's what day? What day is it, Kevin?
Tuesday, the 25th of April.
Oh, it is 1/3 Christmas. How about that?
Yay!
Happy holidays, everybody. Oh, this is a magic time of year. You know, it's my favorite stretch where it goes from 1/4 to 1/3 Christmas. That's when you feel like you're hurtling toward the holidays.
Shut up.
And happy holidays to you as well.
By the way, you're not hurtling toward the holidays.
You are.
No, it's not even summer yet.
Wait, it's like crossing a, it's like turning a corner though. When you go from 1/4 to 1/3 Christmas, that's it. It's downhill from here to December 25th.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
Just excited.
Shut up!
Just love the holidays so much.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Hey, we got a lot of show today, including...
Shut up, who?
Oh, wait, sorry.
Oh, no.
I came a little late. He was moving on. My bad.
Gee, I thought we were friends.
Shut up, who?
We got a lot of show today, including the Depeche Mode tickets, which I'm so excited about. Allie, have you worked out your way in yet?
I'm trying so hard. I even promised somebody that I wouldn't tell Martin Gore that I'd wear my first communion veil and sing Somebody Into the Mirror pretending I was singing to him. I promise I won't tell him.
I feel like you're going about this the wrong way then.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you even need to tell whoever you're.
Oh.
I mean, really, keep that to yourself for always.
Yeah, that's private time is what that is.
Oh, oops.
Yeah. I think.
Yes and no, I'm not going.
I know how difficult this particular ticket is to get. You can't buy them. It's tiny place, big band.
It's reminiscent of when they played at the Troubadour and I called K-Rock every hour on the hour for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't end well.
You literally called a million times.
Literally a million times. Then I emailed Bean and he was such a dick.
Well, anyway, we will give those tickets away. We got a lot of other stuff in the program. But I want to start with this because I find this story fascinating, yet I'm repulsed by it. Yet I also have so many questions. I wish there were a way to talk to the person involved. There are people who, look, I don't know what kind of, I've never been to any of your houses, but I assume that they're nice and they're spacious and you have room to move around. There are a lot of people who live in tiny, I'm not even talking just tiny house nation houses. I'm talking about people who live in a closet. You know what I mean? They rent 80 square feet. That's mm-hmm. what they've got. You know what I mean? There are
right.
people around the world. That's their home. That's all the space they have. And I have great sympathy for them because that seems like a tough way to live. Here's a guy who was squatting, essentially. He was living above a rest stop in southwestern Japan. His name is Takashi Yamaguchi. And this rest stop looks like one you would see in one of the L.A. parks. I mean, it's very, very small. It looks like you walk in and it's got a couple of windows and there's probably, you know, a toilet, maybe two, maybe a urinal, and that's it. It's a very small place. And there's an area above that, above the roof line, like in the attic, where he was living for the last 3 years.
Wow.
3 years he was living there. He was discovered by an electrician who was there carrying out some repairs. He was thought to have accessed the relatively spacious loft space, it says, and maybe by Japanese standards it is spacious, by climbing on top of the toilet stalls and then squeezing through the maintenance hatch. That was how he came and went. All right.
Wow.
A local authority employee who accompanied police said that the squat was neat and tidy with a gas stove, an electric heater, his clothing, and other items. There was one other thing, though, actually 500 other things in his living space.
Can I guess?
Oh, no.
That surprised me. Yes, please do.
Dildos.
500? 500 dildos?
I'm just guessing. I don't know. If I knew, I would tell you the right answer.
I don't know what the square footage is of his space, but let's say it's 20 square feet. Let's say that's what he's got. I don't know. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. Why would you have 500 of anything?
Well, they must be tiny. They must be little things.
They're saying he was a hoarder.
Yeah.
And that this was his thing that he collected. So he has 20 square feet. 500 what, Allie McKay?
Bottle caps.
Okay.
Is it something? Think of something tiny.
Is it something that we could guess? Like pennies or stamps or whatever?
It's something that you could guess.
Okay.
And it's also, I will give you this hint, it is very surprising, based on where he lived, that he had this item. Chip, you want to take a stab at it?
Prostitutes.
Dare, that's my guess. Oh, no.
No.
Mr. Yamaguchi had 500 plastic bottles filled with his own urine.
He lived above the toilet.
That's what I'm saying. If there's one thing that this guy doesn't need to store in his tiny little apartment above a rest stop, it's pee. Yeah.
Why does anyone do that?
Well, I don't.
Even if they have more space, what's the thinking of holding on to that?
Like Howard Hughes?
Yeah, I think that's only mental illness.
Just crazy.
Yeah. That's the only thing. There's no other possible reason that you would do it. But as Allie pointed out, the one thing this guy has a way to get rid of is urine.
Wow.
Why would you save it? And why would you fill up so much of the tiny amount of space that you have with bottles full of pee? So this guy must be leaving to go work or do whatever he is doing. And buying bottles that he can then use to fill up at night. It's very, very troubling. Isn't it?
Yes, that's insanity.
Yeah, what's happening here? And now all I can do is worry about what happens to him next. He gets evicted from this. Now what does he do? You know, I don't know what kind of other options he has here. But, 3 years, he had a pretty sweet deal there. Except for all the urine.
Right, except for that.
Except for the pee.
And what's going to happen to the pee when he has to move, right? Wow. That's odd.
That is a very weird story.
All right.
So happy holidays anyway.
Not happy holidays. Morning, good morning. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah?
Is what he meant to say.
Dude.
Right. Comedian Adam Ray in the studio today. Love him. We have your tickets for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and Disneyland. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ. Now, I know that we usually do that on Mondays, but he was busy yesterday doing something. So today we're going to talk to him as well. We have your tickets for Depeche Mode, like Bean was saying.
That must be fun.
And we have Beer Mug interviewing people at the Cannabis Cup. And Beer Mug is not a guy who is able to refrain from enjoying.
I've been smoking weed since I was 18.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, LA and OC's alternative rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Holy crap.
On what station,
Kevin? I sort of got it right into that again, and I was like, just said that. Why would I say it again?
Did you get struck in the head last night?
I may have. Not that I'm aware of.
It's been a bad morning.
Maybe I forgot about it.
Hey, you know how they took
it's the Kevin and Bean Show?
Right. Okay. You know how they took OJ's Heisman away?
Yeah.
I'm wondering how they handle the Hall of Fame awards. I wonder if there's a possibility that they'll come knocking on our door one day and take the placa out of here.
Look, if they somehow found a way to give it to you,
mm-hmm. Right?
I can't imagine they have the criteria where they would ever take it back.
I don't think
so. If they had criteria, why would you get it in the first place?
Oh, no, it was a mistake. There's no question it was a mistake. But now, upon further reflection, you know how sometimes you don't realize how bad something is until years later? You know,
and like, by bad, you mean great?
Like presidential administrations. You can't really judge during the administration. You have to wait 20 years, and then you look back and history judges. And I'm wondering at this point, it's been long enough now that there may be people at the committee who go, I don't know, man, we may have made a big mistake with that Kevin and Bean Award. Have you heard them lately? You know, that I'm fearing that's where it's happening.
I don't think they knew who we were when that happened.
Well, it's Kiss FM's Kevin and Bean.
I mean, they did tweet that out.
They did tell that. That's true.
5 minutes before the ceremony.
So, all right. So you think we're safe?
I think so, just because they have no idea what Kevin and Bean is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what Kevin and Bean is on the air
for Tuesday morning.
Kevin
and Bean is.
Please don't, Ralph.
No, no, no. Ask me. I'll tell you what it is.
No, you keep your definition to yourself. It's 5:55, time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Imagine you're a kid.
Okay.
And your mom and dad split up, and dad's got a new girlfriend, and that girlfriend's Amber Heard. What's that like? What's that like for you?
How old are you?
I don't know.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. You're a freaking zygote. When Amber Heard's in the room, you're paying attention. Elon Musk is dating Amber Heard.
Yeah.
And they are quickly becoming quite the tight twosome. They recently on vacation together in Australia's Gold Coast, where they went zip lining with two of his 5 sons. So they got to be at least old enough to zip line.
Right.
What's that, 12?
Probably, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're 12 years old and Amber Heard's flouncing around dad's yacht in a bikini.
I don't like it. I don't know what he has that I don't have.
Yeah, Nick, well... Look harder. You'll find out. The upside is Elon Musk has enough money, he could finance the return of the Playboy Club TVs.
Now we're talking.
For Amber Heard, if you want to.
I'm a winner. Because that's what winners do. That's what champions do.
I got a lengthy, I can't
what?
Remember.
A lengthy email from Nick?
Yes, from
Nick. I find that hard to believe.
Apparently, he hung out with Amber Heard at the Science March, if I remember correctly. Saw a picture of them together, him and Amber Heard. They know each other now.
Well, Amber Heard's a well-known scientist.
Right. Exactly.
Did you say they know each other now?
I'm saying they appear next to...
Do you think he said a word to her?
Oh, no, he did. I'm sure he talked her ear off.
Right. When's the Playboy Club coming back?
What do you think about cold fusion?
We need to get him back on.
Yeah, we do.
I'm fine with that. Okay. I'd love an update from Nick. Sure.
All right.
That's what champions do.
That's right.
Wow.
Al, are you familiar with the magic that is listener Nick?
Signholder
Nick, you remember?
I gave money to his Kickstarter, yeah.
For his movie that didn't happen. I know, well, because Amber Heard's schedule isn't freed up yet, but she will.
He's a delight.
I want to win this one. I want to win. I want to win so bad.
Right.
It's like
right.
I go to sleep at night thinking how much I want to win in this matter.
Right.
Like, I want victory. I want it like oxygen. I want victory on this. I want to win. Like,
right.
I want to win.
Right.
I think he wants to win. I can't really get a hit from it.
Don't put me in that loser crowd.
Okay.
Elon Musk, by the way, is, for those who don't know, is the Tesla mogul. He has the Tesla automobile.
What?
Tesla.
The guy that invented something?
Tesla.
He invented the electric car, I heard.
That's what it is. No.
Tesla named after a Nikola Tesla,
right.
Tesla, who was a contemporary of Thomas Edison's legendary, famous, scientist and inventor.
Well, everyone knows that.
Everyone knew. Well, I thought everyone knew it, but then one day.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who of course came up with the Tesla automobile, and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That was a moment with Kevin.
That is weird. I think someone would do that.
Really, Kevin? Really?
Look.
Really?
Look.
Nikola Tesla invented
Look.
The Tesla car?
Look.
Really?
Look.
Really?
I accept your scorn.
Today's celebrity birthdays Al Pacino.
Oh. All right.
It's my birthday. I'm 77. Wow. Get me some cake.
Hank Azaria is 53. Did you guys watch Brockmire? Did you watch all Brockmire? Kevin?
I have been recording it. I have not caught up with it.
Goddamn son of a bitches.
I saw the first two episodes, and I really liked it, and I'm going to watch it. I just haven't gotten back to it.
It gets better and better as it goes on.
I'm excited.
It really gets so good. Renee Zellweger's 48 years old today. Jason Lee, the lovely and talented Jason Lee. Loved him on My Name is Earl and on Kevin Smith's films.
He's the Chipmunks movie guy,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is.
He also plays Dave in the Chipmunks films. Look, everybody
Ralph
has
didn't
to...
mention that one as one he loved.
Everybody has a mortgage, okay? So mm-hmm. why don't you just relax? He's 47 years old today. And Joe Buck. Joe Buck's 48 years old today. Mm. Troy, he's got to be thinking to himself, wow, these hair plugs look great for 48, don't you think? It's got to be tough. What a tremendous douchebag I am.
Kevin, you can take that?
He's 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If you slept in yesterday and missed the announcement, K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017 is happening Saturday, May 20th at StubHub Center. It's an amazing lineup, you guys, with Lorde and Incubus and Imagine Dragons and 311 and Cage the Elephant and Paramore and Lana Del Rey and Dream Car and so much more. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Make sure you have that exclusive K-Rock Street Team password so you can buy tickets as a pre-sale member when they go on sale tomorrow at noon. That's going to be a fun show, you guys.
Sure is.
Speaking of great music. I saw this yesterday. This is not a scientific survey. There's no criteria except the editors of Billboard magazine got together and decided they were going to put out a list. And we love lists, particularly about music.
Right.
And their list this time around is the 100 greatest choruses of the 21st century. So in other words, these are the songs you always sing along to. These are the songs you turn up. These are the songs that have those powerful hooks that you can't forget. You see the title of the song, and you know exactly how it goes. These are songs like Umbrella and Chandelier and songs like that, okay? The top 10 choruses of the 21st century. You guys ready to hear what this list is?
Work, 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 work.
Your mic wasn't on, Kevin?
Yeah, because I had to tear out a piece of paper and do something else, and I forgot to turn it on. Yeah.
yes. Is that I'm sure it is. It's not in the top 10, but
work,
yeah,
work,
that's
work, that, work, 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 that's work, 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 work.
And it's the kind of hook that even if you haven't heard that song in a week, it just pops into your head for no reason, right? You can't get away from it.
Right.
Ali, is there anything that particularly came to mind when you heard me say choruses of the 21st century?
No idea why, but I thought of Can't Always Get What You Want. Like I immediately thought
from
of
the late 1960s?
Yes.
Is this an older list or newer list or
of the 21st century are the words that I've said repeatedly.
Okay. Oh, did you?
We're not listening.
Yes. Okay. Repeatedly. So these are just from the last 17 years.
I was thinking about the remake.
These are songs that you hear on the radio now. All right. We're not even gonna have time to go through
Uptown
it now.
Uptown Funk.
I'm looking at the clock.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm certain that's somewhere on this list. It's not in the top 10. But that's exactly the kind of let me just play some of the songs here and see what you guys think. So it's really just a thumbs up or thumbs down if you agree with Billboard. All right. Mm-hmm. Number 10 on their list is this one.
I came in like a rainbow. I never hit so hard in love.
How about Miley? Is that the kind of hook you think about?
Not even a little.
Sing along when it comes on?
No.
All no, right. I don't think so either.
All right. The Billboard says yes. Okay. Here's number 9.
If you want to go and take a ride with me, we'd be willing on the phone with the dozies. Oh, why do I do this?
It must be the money.
Yeah, everybody remembers the must be the money part, right? That is Nelly. That is number 9. Here's number 8.
In a hurry next to ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama ruling that body, got every man in here wishing.
R. Kelly, Ignition?
No.
I don't think so.
Again, no on this.
No.
So you are parting ways with our friends at Billboard.
Yeah.
All right, here's number 7, choruses. Yeah. So yeah, yes on Katy Perry.
Yeah, I can see that one.
But I mean, yes on Katy Perry for a lot of reasons, right?
Yeah.
So Teenage Dream, that is number 7. Here is number 6. I think this is a good one. Great, great hook on this song. Sure. Jay-Z and Alicia Keys.
100%.
But I knew the Jay-Z part.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, That is exactly the kind of song, though, that when it gets to that part, you know it's coming. You're excited it's coming. It feels like a release from the rest of the
song.
Yeah,
you know what's funny about this is that I don't know lyrics at all. Mm-hmm. But then when a chorus kicks in like that, then I try to start singing. I still don't know the lyrics, but I try.
All right, here's one that was a little bit of a surprise to me, but it makes sense when you hear the song because it wasn't a huge pop hit, but it's certainly a song we love here at K-Rock, and this is number 5. It just takes some time. Sure.
Everything will be just fine.
Everything will be just fine.
All right. God damn it, Kevin.
Too many just fines. Kind of hard. Not to sing along to Jimmy Eat World. All right, this is number 4. I would have been fine, by the way, if this was number 1, as the greatest chorus of the 21st century. You guys remember Outkast? I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Sure. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make you down to cry. I mean, look, we can't hear the name Jackson on this show without saying, ooh, I mean, that has been stuck in our heads for years.
He says that he said he's sorry a trillion times. Does that bug you?
It's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, literally a trillion times?
I'm saying.
Yeah, that I do have to call him out on that.
All right,
Allie, you're going to be very excited on this from Billboard magazine. This is number 3, and it didn't occur to me until I was listening to this list yesterday how unbelievably long this chorus is, but I'd be willing to bet you sing along to every word of this song from The Killers. I mean, all of this is the chorus, and he's still going. It's just a place, I think. And then he finally gets the title. All right.
By the way, still pissed at them. Pretty sure I booked them for Weenie Roast.
They did say yes, didn't they?
Brandon said, oh, sure, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Dick.
Greatest choruses of the 21st century, according to Billboard magazine. If you're just joining us, here's number 2 from our first American Idol, Kelly Clarkson. Since you've been gone, I can't breathe all the time. I'm stuck on your own. I mean, that's a great song, and that's
thanks
some great singing
you
right there.
I can't get what I'm...
Although I'm more of a, what's the, I shouldn't have brought it up if I can't remember the title, I Can't Live My Life Without You, or My Life Really Sucks Without You, or whatever that one's called. That's my Kelly song. All right, you guys ready for number 1?
Wait, hold on.
What
song is that?
My Life Really Sucks Without You, I think it's called.
Okay.
No. Kelly Clarkson, big hit. All right. Number 1, best chorus of the 21st century. This is the one that they'll be
number
singing in karaoke 100 years from now, because you'll never be able to get away from this one, and I think I agree, you guys. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number, so call me maybe. I mean, when you're talking like so hooky, it gets stuck in your head.
Yeah.
You
don't like it, you can't.
Even if you don't like it.
I turned that up last week real loud in the car.
Did you really?
I did.
Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Baby, number 1. So there's your list. I'm going to make you very jealous right now, Kevin, when I tell you that there's a high-speed pursuit on Channel 2 going through Paramount right now. I know you hate to miss any kind of high-speed chase. Hey, Monday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show, right about this time, we talked to our good friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. He was unavailable yesterday, but he was very kind to offer to come on today so we don't miss our weekly talk. How are you, Harvey?
I'm good. I was in Vegas.
In Vegas? No kidding. What's going on in Las Vegas for you?
But I didn't gamble. No, I just had to. There was a speech thing.
Who goes to Vegas and
was this for the NAB convention?
Yeah.
Excuse me, Bean, I was asking a question.
Sorry.
Who goes to Vegas and doesn't gamble?
I actually stayed at a hotel that doesn't have a casino and people can't smoke, and it was awesome.
Wow.
I do not want to party with you.
Well, no. I only say it because I always lose.
So, oh, I see.
I mean, at a point, you know the end game, and it was much more enjoyable.
Okay. Oh, so you cut yourself off from the temptation of not having to walk by a slot machine.
It was fantastic.
I didn't know there were any hotels in Las Vegas.
No, it's a thing now.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's actually a thing.
All right.
I didn't realize how much these hotels smell like smoke.
Oh, they reek.
Until you stay in one that doesn't smell like smoke.
No, you're absolutely right about that. I do think the tide is changing and the rest of the world, except Las Vegas, is like the last place to finally start phasing those buildings out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, there's a lot of good stuff on the site. TMZ.com, of course, the entertainment site of record. And I have been watching with interest as news dribbles out on the Aaron Hernandez case. Obviously, a very tragic, very sad case, the former Patriots player who committed suicide in prison. What did he leave behind that is going to give us some clues as to what was going on in his head, Harvey?
Well, look, I mean, there have been reports that he left three suicide notes behind. And there have been some reports that one of them was to a gay lover, and that this is the kind of linchpin that that drove him to kill himself, that he was tortured because he was closeted. I mean, that's kind of the overlay of some of these reports. So his lawyer told us yesterday, TMZ Sports, Jose Baez said, and I'm going to give you his quote. The quote is, "Rumors of letters to a gay lover in or out of prison are false. These are malicious leaks used to tarnish somebody who is dead."
I love that that could tarnish a murderer. That's insanity.
The words were interesting.
Yeah.
Good
wow.
Lord.
The timing of this whole thing was weird, too. I mean, Aaron Hernandez was already in prison for life, right, Harvey?
Well, look, here's the weird part about it, is that Aaron Hernandez was in prison for life for a murder, but mm-hmm. he had just been acquitted of two other murders the week before.
That's what's confusing to me.
And the new lawyer, Jose Baez, who didn't represent him in the first one, was going to file appeals saying the first lawyer screwed it up, and he was optimistic and told Aaron Hernandez such that he would get him out on that charge. And Hernandez seemed, by outward accounts, to be happy about all of this. So it really shocked Baez. It shocked Hernandez's family. It just that the timing of this was bizarre.
That's the whole thing. That's what I can't get my head around. I mean, not that he was, in a great mood or happy or something, but when you saw him in court, he was blowing kisses to his family and everything. I mean, he seemed like he was positive and, like you said, had something to look forward to. So the whole thing is such a mystery. And I almost hate to ask this question, Harvey, because I'm going to sound so ignorant. But is there a stigma in prison about being gay? I mean, I kind of thought that lots of people are gay when they're in prison.
Well, I mean, look, is there a stigma? I mean, prison's a hard place, and it's not like it's the most evolved place in terms of social consciousness, for
right,
sure.
And acceptance,
so I'm
right?
sure that there's an element of that. But Jose Baez was not saying it for the inmates. He was saying it for the outside world. And
I see.
That's what
gotcha.
So, yeah, and it is odd.
Okay. All right, real quick, because you got another story that's fascinating.
Yeah, you know what? I know we were going to talk about
Belafonte,
but no. We just broke a story.
Okay.
That's pretty shocking that I thought I would tell you guys about.
Yes, please.
Do you know who Chris Soules is on The Bachelor?
I know Ralph Wood. Is he a former Bachelor?
Remember the guy from The Farm who came out to Hollywood? He's a farmer.
Yes.
He is in custody right now, and this is after
Felony Bad TV?
No, it's this is bad.
Oh, sorry.
He allegedly killed a guy.
Oh my God.
Accidentally, he was driving a pickup truck in Iowa and slammed into a John Deere tractor trailer, and the tractor trailer rolled into a ditch, and the guy in the tractor trailer died. He left the scene, according to cops.
Oh, my God.
And he was charged with leaving the scene with death. And he is in custody right now.
Holy moly.
I know.
Yeah, I'm just looking him up right now. He's the one who ended up with Whitney on that show. Look at that. Chris Soules. Wow. All right. Well, thank you, Harvey, for bringing us up to speed with that. We'll look for it on the site. It's going to be posted in a couple minutes?
It's up. We just put it up.
Up right now. All right. TMZ.com is where you want to go. Look for TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. And, of course, TMZ Live airing every day at 4 p.m. Same Channel 11. TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Thanks for squeezing this in on a Tuesday, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Comedian Adam Ray on the show next hour here on K-Rock. Also, your chance to win tickets for the Super Secret Depeche Mode show. Allie, you still hoping that whoever wins will take you?
A lot.
That's coming up within a half hour, by the way.
Yeah.
And Kevin is the Best is our new segment that we're very excited to roll out coming up next hour. You know, we can do that almost every day. We can do Kevin is the Best.
Yeah, we could. We can do that with the Afro line as well.
I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of Afro, 323-520-AFRO is the number. It's 24 hours a day. It's Kevin Bean voicemail. What percentage of people who call the Afro line, Kevin, in your opinion, are drunk?
I'd say about 20%.
Oh, that's all.
Maybe 30.
I'm surprised because I feel like we're just the listener's only friend when it gets late enough at night, and that's why we get these calls sometimes.
Unless something happens.
Okay.
Like happened last week when you were on vacation and I tried to tell a story. Now, normally I try to take the Afro calls and sort of spread them around. Maybe right. There's one for Ralph, a couple for Allie, one for Bean. Mm-hmm. Not happening.
Oh, no.
Nope. I want to start an official petition for Kevin to give us the morning story at the beginning of every show, every week. Lee, that was freaking amazing.
For those who didn't hear, Kevin told a story, but he lost some paperwork, so he didn't have most of the details, so he kind of winged it.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to make it up, but I got Sherlock Holmes over here.
Well, every fact was different every time you'd start again.
I know, so. I was just trying to deflect onto you.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Not everyone agreed that I should do the story every day, though.
Hey, Kevin, have you heard about this story from India about a guy who's sleeping with a girl who also knows the brother, who's also married to the friend, who has a sickle, and something happens? Somebody sleeps with somebody, there's a blindfold, and there's a threesome, and I don't know it either because you can't tell a damn story.
So she loved it.
Kevin, my girlfriend's from India, and she wants to have a threesome, but she's my neighbor, but she's married. But I want to marry her, but I can't marry her because she doesn't want to get married, and she has a sickle. And then she wants me to have a three-way, but she wants me to wear a blindfold, and then my wife's not going to be there because she's married to my neighbor, who's also in India, and my neighbor has a wife, and then we're all going to have a three-way, but we can't because we're not married. That makes sense, right?
By the way, let me just say this. It took me about 10 minutes to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that confusing.
I think he told it better than you did, though.
And that's why.
I thought Bean's story about a couple looking for a lost dog for months was the worst opening in the history of the Kevin and Bean show. But then Kevin came in and dropped the mic.
It's so true.
I am so off the hook.
I just listened to Tuesday's opening segment, and goddamn, Kevin, you're a hero. You keep doing what you're doing.
All right, that guy loves it, so okay. Put that in the win column, right?
All right.
Seriously, Kevin, what the hell? What the hell's wrong with you? You need help. You need help.
This Afrophile is an uprising.
It really is.
It really is. I mean, the people have had enough, Kevin. They insist on getting their word to you now.
And it's a deserved uprising. I mean, I really deserve this. So I'm willing to take it. But at least not every call's about that.
Kevin, you are the worst at telling stories. Okay? I was already having a bad morning. And then I hear you with the sickle and the neighbor and the arranged marriage and this is India and the cut-off penis. Somebody needs to cut off your penis.
Okay, take it easy.
Maybe even your head.
What?
Whoa. Put it all in a bag in the desert.
You're not in the desert. Open that bag.
This is my favorite.
Kevin, son of a bitch.
That's the whole call.
But you knew exactly what he meant.
But at least this one isn't about me.
Tell the story correctly, or don't tell it at all. F*** you, Kevin. Wife, girlfriend, sickle, penis lost, gonna get married, is married. Get the goddamn story straight.
But at least this one's not about...
Hey, guys. Unfortunately, I can't listen to the podcast anymore. My girlfriend said I have Kevin Ryder syndrome, and she started quoting Moments with Scott. So this is goodbye. I'm going to go listen to classical music and read NPR or some nerd like that. I'm sorry.
It's very sad when you're diagnosed with Kevin Ryder syndrome.
You really don't want that. I do have one final call, however, that really isn't about me.
Oh, good.
So I'm happy to bring it to you, Bean.
You can
smell that
for it. Oh, we got no time for
that's
Chuck
the great
Berry
Chuck
comedy.
Berry, right?
Come on.
Right?
No, please.
Come on now.
No, please.
You can smell that for it.
I I would rather hear you tell a story than listen to that again.
Hey, Bean. Smell my fire.
Three two three 520 AFRO 24 hours a day. 106.7
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. LANOC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
5 minutes away from your chance to win tickets to see Depeche Mode tomorrow night at a super secret location. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on, my friend?
You know, it's funny. Yesterday, we were talking about the passing of Erin Moran, who played Joni Cunningham on the Happy Days TV series. And we were talking about how odd it was over the weekend. We saw a lot from Henry Winkler and Ron Howard and Marion Ross and her other castmates. And not so much from Scott Baio. And then yesterday, it seemed like he couldn't stop talking about her. He went on the radio saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, you know what, you drink, you do drugs, you die. I'm sorry if that sounds cold, but that's the way it is.
Wow.
And that's when the news broke that she passed away from stage 4 cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing really to do with drinking or doing drugs. So,
here's
the thing. Maybe sometimes shut up. Maybe say something nice and then just let it go at that and not try to make...
Because even
some
if
sort
he
of
was
statement about
even if he was 100% right,
what do you gain at that point by saying anything negative about a person once they've passed? Now he looks like an ass because apparently she was very sick and in the final stages of her battle with cancer when she passed away, and that's what happened. It had nothing to do with there were no legal substances found. There was no drugs or anything paraphernalia found. It was.
Are you telling me that Chachi makes bad choices?
I'm just saying, maybe you want to get all the facts before you start saying stuff about people. That's all. Right?
Right.
Like last week when I was saying Bean was dead all week long?
Right.
I probably should have waited for the coroner's report.
I do feel like you jumped to that conclusion just because I was on a scheduled vacation.
Yeah, well...
He was hoping, I think, more
than...
You
could have died during your vacation.
I think he's more likely to die during vacation than when he's working.
Yes.
Right? So...
Yeah.
Not too far a stretch.
Well,
the guy broke a rib on a radiator getting out of bed.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, come on.
Yeah, things happen.
Sorry to disappoint, but I did survive the week off.
Mm. I'm okay.
Speaking of sick, Elton John. Close to death.
Yeah, I don't like this at all.
Mm-mm. He was touring South America when he picked up what his doctors are calling a potentially deadly bacterial infection. Elton became violently ill on the flight back to London from Santiago, Chile, and was taken right to the emergency room. He's been in the hospital for 12 days.
Oh, wow. Geez.
Was sent home on Saturday, apparently. He had a bunch of Caesar Palace shows in Vegas coming up. They canceled all of those. And he's got another gig at Twickenham Stadium in England on June 3rd. So far, that is still a go. No where whether he'll actually be able to make it or not, but he is in a bad way, apparently.
So... That sucks.
Then I heard they had to pump his stomach, too. I don't know.
You didn't hear that.
No, there was a story.
That's not true.
He was on a flight with a soccer team.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
I remember it well.
Nope.
Didn't happen.
No, sir.
Stop doing the hand motion.
That
didn't happen
either.
Don't
Let Your Son Go Down on Me was the song I think he was singing when they took him to the hospital.
No.
That's one of his hits.
No, Don't Let the Son.
What?
Ralph.
Don't Let the Son Go Down on Me.
Right.
Ralph.
Ralph.
That was one of his hits.
Ralph.
You don't even know the man. Madonna's life been interesting enough to make a big screen movie about?
I am going to say maybe.
All right. Thanks for taking a stand.
Well, it depends on who does the movie. I think there's enough drama there that somebody could make a good movie about it.
Universal Pictures has picked up the Elise Hollander script Blonde Ambition. Which was, by the way, rated number one on what is known around movie industry inside circles as the Blacklist. You know what the Blacklist is? The Blacklist is the yearly...
It's a TV show.
No, sir. No. The Blacklist is the yearly collection of the number one unproduced film scripts floating around the studios.
So the best scripts
These
that
These are the best
been?
Scripts that okay. nobody, for whatever reason, has produced yet.
Okay.
It's known as the Blacklist. And this script, Blonde Ambition, was the number one script on that list last year in 2016.
Huh.
So Universal has picked it up, and they are going to make it.
What happened to Madonna's face?
We'll find out in Blonde Ambition, coming to a theater near you. No casting yet, but I'm think it's got to be Kelly Clarkson, right?
I don't see that. No.
Not sure. No. Not.
I don't see that.
You're right.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
And speaking of wonderful female singers, songwriters, Tori Amos, right? Tori right? Amos. She's going to release her 15th studio album this summer. How about that? Native Invader is the name of the album. And she will be touring on it to support that as well in November and December. But the album comes out in September, September 8th to be exact. So I'm a huge fan of her, so I'll be looking forward to that. Hey, Friday night, it is the return of Hollywood Babylon. Kevin Smith and I have not been on the stage for quite some time.
No.
Looking forward to getting back to it at the Improv on Melrose. Me, Kevin Smith, you, cocktails, pot, profanity, dirty words. I guess that's what profanity is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chuckles. Come on, see us. Hollywood Babylon. Go to improv.com. You can click on the Hollywood location, and that's where you can get more details and your tickets.
Love to see
you. You have to really enunciate. No. No.
Love to see you Friday, 10 p.m., enunciating. You are the devil!
So good.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Al Pacino. Good old Al. Right? We all love Al.
Right?
Just watching Sea of Love the other night. Boy, it's a good movie. 77 years old today. Hank Azaria is 53 years old in the very funny Brockmire right now on, I want to say, IFC?
That sounds right. Yes.
Renee Zellweger is 48. Jason Lee is 47. And the unbearable Joe Buck celebrates his 48th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, Depeche Mode time, you guys. Super secret location tomorrow night. If you love the band and you can go, this is, I'm so excited we're doing this game again. How long has it been, Ralph, since we played this game for Depeche Mode tickets?
A year or more. Maybe two. I don't know.
It's my favorite.
He's in the hallway and he's very upset. That's all I know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So if you want to win the Depeche Mode tickets, you're really going to have to earn them hard. 1-800-520-1065.
Wow.
How do you earn them hard?
I am earning them.
We'll find out right after this on K-Rock.
One of those things.
Let's do this thing, okay? I'm here and I'm waiting for you. Can we do this thing?
Joe, hold on. Man. Calm down. We got to bring people up to speed with what's happening
at
here.
6 o'clock in the morning and I can't come here for doing this.
It's the Kevin DeBean Show here on a Tuesday morning. We've got more tickets for the Super Secret Depeche Mode show at a Super Secret location tomorrow night. Joe Pesci is here, ladies and gentlemen. The great actor from Goodfellas.
Your applause. I don't need your applause.
And Joe, you're going to help us give away Depeche Mode tickets. I'm not sure I remember how.
Because I'm a huge Depeche Mode fan.
Are you?
And I'm also a giant fan of ice cream.
Right.
I hate
okay.
You guys so much. That's why we do this game, Depeche LMO.
When you want to go see Depeche Mode at
a secret spot.
Depeche LMO. Depeche LMO. Joe Pesci's going to ask you questions about ice cream.
What?
Depeche LMO.
What?
Depeche LMO. When you think we can't get any worse, we do stuff like this. Depeche a la mode. Depeche a la mode.
All right, so you're not asking.
Omar, he's funny.
He's very funny, yes.
He's a funny guy.
Yes, yes. You're not asking questions about Depeche Mode. You're asking questions.
No, of course I'm not asking questions about Depeche Mode.
Well, it's a Depeche Mode show. Right. These are Depeche Mode fans on the phone.
Joe Pesci.
Right. Right.
I'm Joe Pesci and I like ice cream.
I see. Okay.
So these are Depeche a la mode.
Okay. Questions about ice cream. Okay. All right.
What part of the introduction didn't you understand?
Well, it just
Should I play it again or no?
I think you should, because this guy, the big, tall, giant guy, has no idea what we're doing.
When you want to go see Depeche Mode at
a secret spot.
Depeche a la mode. Depeche a la mode. Joe Pesci's going to ask you questions about ice cream. Depeche a la mode.
Okay, so it didn't rhyme, but he did say Joe Pesci's
going
to ask you.
I think it's pretty obvious what's going on here.
Questions about ice cream. Sounds like a stretch, but okay, we'll give it a try. So we have two pairs of tickets, so you get it right, you go into the drawing. Who's our first contestant, please?
First up is Joanna in Westchester. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
You're on with the great Joe Pesci.
Are you ready for a question about ice cream?
Yes, I am.
All right. Ice cream is used to prepare other desserts, including this one, named after the 49th state. What is it?
The 49th. State.
It's a dessert named after the 49th state.
Baked Alaska?
That's right. She got it. I can't believe this broad got it. No way I think that's never going to happen.
You're in the drawing, Joanna. Please hold on. All right, let's move on
no chance she was going to get it.
That's what I thought.
Because she was like,
You're not in a very good mood this morning.
Shut up!
All right, Autumn in San Bernardino. Good morning.
Good morning.
Here's your question. Just before his death in 1977, ice cream was the last food eaten by this legendary rock star.
Elvis?
Elvis Presley, that's right.
How about that? Two for two.
Unbelievable.
Nicely done. All right, let's go to Jacob.
See, people know things about ice cream.
That's correct.
And it has what again to do with Depeche Mode?
I'm Joe Pesci.
Uh-huh.
And ice cream is a la mode.
I see. Gotcha.
Depeche a la mode.
Understood.
Go get your shine bucks, Tommy.
All right, let's go to Jacob in Ontario. Hi.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Long-time fan, him.
Thank you so much. This ice cream holder appeared in 1904 at the World's Fair when a baker rolled his pastries into horns to help an ice cream vendor who had run out of dishes.
Hmm.
What's the name of that
ice cream? Cone.
The cone.
Yes.
The freaking cone.
Right.
And he said that.
The freaking cone.
Right. He got it right.
Nicely done,
Jacob.
Yell
at him.
All right.
Am I funny to you?
Well, it seemed odd that he said it right and then you started yelling.
I'm happy for the guy.
Yeah. All right. Jeff in Canyon Country. Hi.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jeff. With 33% of the market, this is the top-selling ice cream flavor.
Chocolate?
No!
Oh, no!
No,
Jeff. Oh, no.
Freaking vanilla!
It's vanilla, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to whack you in the back of the head, too. Two bullets right in the back of the head.
That's not necessary. It was
whack
a fine...
you for being such a dumbass.
It was a fine guess. It was
not
reasonable...
a fine guess. It was wrong.
It was a reasonable guess.
It was a
guess.
Wrong,
it was
dumbass
wrong.
Guess. You should be killed and buried in the desert.
No!
Wow. I don't think so. All right, let's go to Josh in Burbank. Hi, Josh.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Josh, in the early days of television, ice cream melted too fast under the heat of the lighting. So they used to use this food to simulate it. What is it?
Baked potato flakes.
I mean...
mashed potato flakes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mashed potatoes.
Nicely done.
Now, that's an answer. This guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, that
other lady should be murdered.
We're not going to kill anyone, Joe. They're just playing a game for tickets.
Mashed potatoes.
We have 4 out of 5 that are right. How are you so angry?
Mashed potatoes.
All right. Ben in West Covina. Hi.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Ben. Before she was the first female British prime minister, this woman was part of the team that invented the method of making soft-serve ice cream in England.
Whoa.
This really? Is true.
That's a deep cut of facts right
it's
there,
it's about
man.
Ice cream. I'm Joe Pesci, and I like ice cream.
Right, Pesci a la mode. We got it.
The Pesci a la mode.
Former British prime minister, I could only think of Margaret Thatcher.
Yes.
Nicely done.
These people know ice cream.
They
right?
really
they
do.
They don't care about the band. They like ice cream.
Well, they care about the band
they
very
don't
much.
Care.
I think
okay.
they do.
All right. We got
I will
time
take
for...
you out. I will hit you with a shovel.
I'd rather you
I'll
didn't.
Cut off what you call the hoof, and I will put you in the ground in a desert box.
All right. We got time for a couple more real quick, Joe.
Tamara in Sherman Oaks. Hi.
Good morning. Hello, everybody.
Morning. This is the world's most popular ice cream topping. You put it on ice cream.
Oh, I got a couple in my head.
Well, pick one.
All right, don't yell at her, Joe. She's just trying
I'm
to play
I'm trying to help the lady.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
Oh, well, like, blow out my candle.
All right, I don't think we need to get ugly here.
I'm talking to broadcasters, she's talking about birthdays. I'm trying to give away tickets, she's giving up birthdays.
All right, Tamara, topping.
Okay. I'm going to go with hot fudge.
Hot fudge.
I mean, I'd say.
I think it's close enough. Give
close
it a
enough
roll.
For
chocolate syrup.
Chocolate syrup.
Hot fudge. Whatever. The same thing. Chocolate. You put on it.
All right. Hold
okay.
On.
Hang on. I don't know what she's screaming.
Yeah.
You are in the drawing. We got time for one more.
She's yelling back.
Yeah. Have a stick of cake where it is. What the hell?
Jude was singing the theme
along.
Song.
Oh my God,
let me hear a little
tune.
More of that, Jude.
That's a catchy tune.
Yep.
Hey, Jude.
Yes. Hey.
Stupid.
Come
what
on,
are you
Joe.
Talking about, lady? It's the guy's name.
Yeah, but he.
What, all right. Funny? What, are you your amusement? What, am I a clown?
All right. Last question, Joe Pesci.
This Italian ice cream is generally lower in fat but higher in sugar than other styles of ice cream. What's it called?
I hope it's gelato.
I hope it is, too, for your sake. If it's not gelato, I'm going to put two bullets right in your brain.
It is. It is that, though. He's right.
Right.
You don't have to threaten him.
I don't have to murder him?
No.
Because I'm tired of killing people.
Listen, Joanna.
They F you with the drive-thru. They F you with the drive-thru.
Right. And Autumn and Jacob and Josh and Ben and Tamara and Jude all are in the drawing. Only two will win tickets for Depeche Mode's super secret location tomorrow night, courtesy of Joe Pesci and the world-famous Garrick. Miss Allen McKay, who are our winners, please?
Why
are you so confused?
I didn't think he was still there, but he is. Josh and Ben are the two winners. That was weird.
But you pulled his name because he got it right.
Yes.
And he's on hold, and you're surprised that he's on hold?
Josh and Ben.
Any words for Allie, Joe?
Yeah, two bullets right in the back of the head. She's going to desert. She's never coming back.
I agree. Depeche
Mode. I'm not going to lie. He's one of our favorite people in the world. Comedian, actor, podcaster, the great Adam Ray in studio with us here on the Kevin Beach.
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
Good morning.
And I've been dying to tell you this. And
yeah.
I don't know if you've already heard this or not, but April Foolishness a few weeks ago. And thank you once again for being there and being great like you always are.
A dream to be on that show again. That lineup was incredible.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Kevin and I are standing backstage. We're talking to Bill Burr.
Yeah.
And he's watching you on the stage.
Oh,
Kevin,
my goodness.
You know what I'm about to say here.
Yep, I do.
He's watching you do the act, and he's, you know, he's a comedian. He's a professional.
Sure.
He knows what he's talking
about. He goes, man, look at those calves.
He knows
right?
how to analyze what he's seeing, and he shakes his head, and he says he says to Kevin and Bean, he says, that's the guy that ought to be closing the show, not me.
That's what he said.
Bill Burr said that.
He's got all kinds of energy, and he's jumping around, and I'm just an old curmudgeon. That's
oh,
what he said.
Oh, my God. He sounds like my mom when she's, like, talking to all of her, like, Jewish temple friends.
He should be on there.
Well, you owned that room, Adam, and there's no higher compliment in the world than hearing something like that from the great Bill Burr.
Yeah,
right?
That's pretty incredible.
So,
He just didn't want to do it.
That guy...
I mean, not to take away the compliment. But.
Yeah, that could have. Well, I mean, look, you guys know, like that crowd is just fired up from the get go.
Yeah,
and they were nice and liquored up by the time I went up, which was a kind of a prime time for the show. I felt like it was just a constant upward swing, and you know, you just want to ride that energy, really, and like not be the one to let it dip.
It's funny,
and not have to show your penis like Steve-O did.
I mean, that was in the back of my pocket. The trick
your
and my penis,
was
yeah,
wow.
It was.
That's
yeah,
impressive.
Well, that's the trick. And then you go, you thought it was in the front, psych, yeah. You know. Yeah, that Steve-O trick really, it definitely did make me, A, want him to introduce me with a stunt.
Right.
But also it was like, wow, the human body really is incredible. Because I didn't ever fathom that as being a trick in his arsenal, let alone a trick
yeah.
that a guy could pull off.
It's not like you think,
without breaking
hey,
it.
Should I do that or not?
You don't even think of it. Yeah.
You never think of it. He swings.
Isn't it great? Your brain's not even wired that way to even just have any sort of downtime to be like, I wonder if I could swing my penis back so hard. Which, by the way, that sentence alone would never cross my mind. Like,
right.
Let me swing my penis so hard. That and then I have to catch it with my own legs.
So then he closes his legs in front, and the crowd sees nothing.
Yeah.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Those of us on the stage behind Steve-O,
oh, wait a minute,
we
right.
saw everything the crowd did not see.
It was not fun.
Oh my god! What wait? Did he even give you a little heads up? Was he like, "All right, guys, this
oh,
chick's
no.
gonna be great"?
He said, "He
no, they
said,
got a heads up."
Hey.
And a head sideways and a head down.
He said, I want to do a stunt. We said, absolutely. And he said, do you want to know what it is? And we said, nope.
Good for you.
That's how we roll, Adam.
Because Dave was standing there with a headset,
roll the dice.
Being the man.
Roll the Steve-O dice.
We need to make sure stuff doesn't happen that goes wrong because I'm in charge. That was Dave. Oh,
that's actually a great idea for like some sort of game or like maybe wedding thing. Like if you Steve-O dice, right? And either, like, the groom's party has to do it. This is like a bachelor or bachelorette party game.
Okay.
Right? So you have a bunch of Steve-O stunts on the dice.
And then you roll them.
Yeah,
I see.
And then people have to do them. Or you hire Steve-O, and then you roll the Steve-O dice.
Much
and
better.
He performs them.
Yeah, because I don't want to try that one that he did. No interest in that.
No, because didn't you think at one point you're like, oh, that's it might, like... He swung so hard, like, I don't know how gravity or physics work. Like, I feel like
Kevin
it should have flown off.
How dare you?
Now, is there a I don't know, something that's equivalent for, like, women for that trick? Like,
if
there was a woman,
Steve-O, you should get things checked out, for sure.
Yeah, you've got
nothing
problems.
Should be hanging that
if you're
far.
Swinging.
Yeah.
Something's gone terribly wrong, if that's the case. Adam Ray is here on the Kevin and Bean Show, AdamRayTV.com. You are going to be in town this week, and
yeah.
you're doing
the
Comedy Store, right?
Yeah. Tonight I do a monthly show at the Comedy Store called Adam Ray and Buddies, and I host it, and I bring a bunch of top dog comics. you know, Kevin Nealon, Dana Carvey, Harlan Williams. Tonight's show at the Comedy Store at 8:30 in the main room is Dana Carvey once again, Damon Wayans Jr., Ron Funches, Jeff Dye, John Renitsky.
We should have you book full
Chris Redd. Yeah.
Seriously, you do a great job. Hey, Adam, I got a question, a serious question.
Yeah.
Dana Carvey, yeah, in most people's mind, is yesterday's news. Oh, that guy was famous 25 years ago. Yet every time I see him on my TV, he blows me away.
Crushes.
With how funny he is,
yeah,
and how great his impressions,
yeah,
are. I guess my question for you as a friend of Dana's is, why isn't he a big star right now?
Well, I think, you know, and he's definitely aware of how he has maybe dipped out of the, you know, spotlight. But I think to his own... you know, he had a hand of that. I think he just wanted to kind of check out for a minute, and mm-hmm, he does stand up more now because his sons are doing it, and being out here, you know, he was up north for a while. So, but yeah, like every time he goes on a talk show, every time he goes up at the Comedy Store or the West Side Comedy Theater or the Improv, like he just crushes, and he like has so little of a game plan. He's got all these notes, so he's like, oh, I think I'm going to do this, and maybe do this. And he just seems so disorganized before he goes out there, and then he just murders. And
I
know,
think he may be
he's
still
fearless.
One of the best impressionists there is.
Oh, too. Hands down. Yeah.
Which is, it's just, it's weird. I mean, it's a real treat to get a chance to see a guy like that working tonight with,
yeah,
you at the Comedy Store.
Now, are you doing stand-up as well?
Yeah.
Or are you just hosting?
I just host it, yeah. So I'll do a set up top, and then I'll do some stuff in between. But as a host, you just kind of want to, when the lineup's stacked like that, I always find it kind of annoying when the host will come out and do a lot of time in between when,
right,
there's so many great comics. It's like, just keep the show moving. You
should
know?
Host Foolishness as well.
Adam, we're turning it all over to you. Here's the 10th annual. We want you to take care of it.
I mean, hosted, the last time I remember really hosted that I was like super nervous for too was this show at the Improv, maybe my second year in, and it was just another stacked lineup of like Daniel Tosh and Greg Giraldo at, wow, the time was on it, and Bobby Lee and Dan Cook and Jim Gaffigan was in town. And I remember I was like, hey, do you want me to just, you know, bring you up immediately or do some time? He goes, well, just read the room, see how this guy does. And I can't remember who was on stage, but he kind of ended on a pretty low note. He was doing some long, really dark bit, and it just did not go over well. And then the guy just, at the end of it, you're like, okay, well, there's going to be some sort of punchline here. He's going to do a new bit and kind of save it. And he just goes, the comic just goes, all right, good night. Like, oh, well, screw it. I thought that was going to go better.
Oh, no.
And then Gaffigan leans over and goes, due time. But in my head, I'm 2 years in. Like, all of it, my time, I did it up top. I don't have anything left. So I'm like, oh, no.
And now Gaffigan's telling you.
Yeah, so he's like stretched, basically. He's basically saying, hey, pick the show back up before you bring me up.
Right.
And I remember I did some joke about the lottery and, like, the lottery slogan and, like, you know, the odds being so bad. Like, you know, one in, you know, man, people buy tickets when it's 1 in 7 billion. You got a better chance of having Oprah crash into your house with a truck full of dildos than you do winning the lottery. Anyway, here's Jim Gaffigan. And I remember I just, like, forgot my own punchline to a joke I barely did. And then he comes up and he just goes, well, that was crappy. And I was like, he called it crappy. That was so, like, it's like when a parent says, like, they're disappointed in you.
Yeah,
it was just, like, the phrasing. Oh, I felt like I let Gaffigan down.
Oh, that hurts.
It does.
Isn't it interesting? All these years later, that's still resonates.
Comics remember those moments more so than,
when
like,
you fail.
The heroic times. But,
well, I don't think you can go wrong tonight. Like you said,
it's will be great.
Stacked lineup. Ron Funches.
Yeah, so anyway,
is
come to the show. I'm hosting again. Who knows what might happen?
Dana Carvey and John Renitsky and Jeff Dye, Chris Redd, Damon Wayans Jr. That's all at the Comedy Store in Hollywood tonight at 8:30 with Adam Ray hosting. ComedyStore.com, only $20. And by the way,
$20 for that lineup.
That,
yeah,
come
it's
on.
Amazing.
You need to jack that price up a bit.
Thank you.
And real quick before you go, Adam, and thank you so much for stopping by.
You guys are the best.
Tomorrow night, you're back on TV on The Return of the Mac,
That's right.
Right.
So my boy Joey McIntyre created the show called Return of the Mac that is kind of Curb Your Enthusiasm meets, 30 Rock meets Dr. Phil.
I feel like you're not helping.
No, I don't know what the show is. It's like it's about Joey's life.
Well, that was crappy.
Post. Gaffigan. It's like his life post pop star, and he plays himself. I play his manager. January Jones is in it. David Koechner.
Oh, wow.
Joey Lawrence.
Whoa.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the 90s.
Man.
We got it, Allie. We got it. That sounds fun.
It's a lot of fun, yeah. And it's on Pop TV.
The Pop Network is a real network?
It used to be the TV Guide channel.
know, and then they rebranded itself, and they're trying to, you know, be a legit comedy. They have a show called Schitt's Creek on there right now with Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, and then they got this show and a few others. But yeah, it's super funny, and it's family fun.
Adam Ray and Buddies tonight at the Comedy Store in Hollywood, and then tomorrow night on the Pop TV Return of the Mac. Always great to see you, man. Thanks
you guys
for coming
are the best.
In.
Thank you.
You guys, words are hard.
They are.
Speaking the language is difficult. It's a good thing I don't do something for a living where that's necessary.
Yeah, that would be an occupational hazard.
Right?
I was thinking about when we were listening to all those Afro calls, demanding your resignation or put your head in a bag in the desert or whatever it was they were suggesting you do. What's it like for you, Kevin? What's it like to be Kevin?
Most of the time it's funny.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while I go home really bummed.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Kevin. Only every once in a while. Like if there's something that I screw up in front of a guest, that upsets me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The dream car incident?
Dream car was in here and I called him AFI.
AFI gate.
I really don't like that at all. But
no,
most
of
the time I can just look at it and go, oh, well. That's me and that's my life because it's not different, Bean. That's the thing. Like, you don't fall apart one day and then, but you know, tomorrow you'll come back strong. Right? I don't have that. Hope is painful.
Right. You just gotta deal.
Right.
But I just feel like you're a 185 hitter who right now is hitting like 600. I mean, it's unbelievable this streak that you're on right now. Like, you're so hot right now. Like the story that you tried to tell last week, where you got some of the details mixed up, the Indian couple that may or may not have been married, there may or may not have been a penis,
right.
There may or not have been a three-way.
Right.
We had our listener in Scotland, Kiaz, for instance, he called you out on that. Remember, I don't know if you saw this video or not, but he had heard you on the podcast trying to tell that penis and sickle story, and here's what Kiaz had to say.
Kevin, last month I gave Bean a hell of a hard time for that dog story. And I've just heard the penis and sickle story, and, I mean, come on, man. Like, at least the dog story had a narrative. What did the penis and sickle story have other than absolute confusion? I told Bean to fix his goddamn life last month. Well, I take it all back. Bean, I'm sorry. I mean, that story was crap, but I'm sorry. It's clearly Kevin who has to fix his goddamn life. Now, Kevin, I'm going to go inside this church here, and I'm going to smoke some crack in front of God, because there's nothing less than the combined power of heavy drugs and the good Lord himself that's going to take that story away.
Oh, my God.
Good God, fix your life, please.
All right, so Kiaz's advice is to fix your life, Kevin. And I think this might be a good time to say that the magic is not confined to just on the radio. A lot of people may not realize this, but sometimes we have to record things, promotional announcements and whatnot, that run throughout the day when Kevin and Bean aren't on the air.
Yeah, or we say tomorrow on tomorrow's show.
Right. And we yesterday we had to do that like we do so often. And I think it was, again, another fascinating look into what it's like to be Kevin.
I just want to say up front that I'm known, especially with Bean, that if there's too many items, maybe don't try that.
Yeah.
And I did not take that advice.
Hey, party people, you know about the Weenie Roast, but do you know about the Depeche Mode Secret Show? We've got tickets for you on Tuesday morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Plus, we've got tickets for you to go, should I say, Disneyland and Guardians of the Galaxy, and would you like to take that back?
If you think you can pull all that off, I support it.
How dare you, sir?
Got this, Kevin.
Okay, so that's Chip. So Bean knows for a fact that there's no way I'm saying all three of them.
Well, I mean, it's awfully ambitious being Kevin and all, but I love how Chip is in the background throwing gasoline under the fire.
That's what she always does.
That's what I'm good at.
Yep. All right, so I've said how dare you.
All right.
And now I'm going to nail it.
Yeah.
Plus, we've got your tickets for Disneyland and Guardians of the Galaxy, and would you like to take that back? F*** you. I say to Bean because he didn't believe I could do it.
Right. And you did a motion like, suck it.
Right. And you nailed it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But.
I would have said Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but.
Oh, s***. Volume 2, right?
Yeah.
We've got your tickets for Disneyland and an advanced screening of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Still sticking with f*** you?
Nope. I'm going to take that right back. We've got your tickets for Disneyland and Guardians. We've got your tickets for Disneyland and an advanced screening of Gar... I thought I nailed it.
A long time ago, like the first time.
Now I know there's no way I'm... We've got your tickets for Disneyland and an advanced... We've got your... damn it. We've got your tickets for Disneyland and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And would you like to take that back? So that...
It is turning into a Corinne Bailey Ray situation a little bit.
I find that funny, if you're asking.
Oh, good.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 752.
With you, Chip.
Hey, a quick reminder, if you are not a K-Rock Street Team member, you should be. That way you get the password and you can buy the tickets tomorrow at noon for this year's K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017. Fast approaching on Saturday, May 20th at the StubHub Center. Get all the details at KROQ.com, but make sure you are set to buy your tickets so you can see you, some Imagine Dragons and some 311 and some Lana Del Rey and Incubus and Lorde and all the rest. KROQ.com for all the
details.
What
did you call the show, Bean?
The K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta?
No.
The Amazing Weenie Roast Yay Fiesta.
Right. The Amazing Weenie Roast Yay Fiesta.
Yay Fiesta. Okay. I defer to Rodney.
Get your life together, man.
I will. I'll do that.
No, it's so encouraging to me and upbeat, lifting, and just it's inspirational that Kevin only goes home feeling bad about his performance some of the time.
Yeah, and it sounded rare.
It did. Yeah. That, to me,
is sort of
remarkably uplifting and hopeful.
It is.
That he can go home and feel okay
but
with what he does on a regular basis, and it doesn't bring him down at all.
Because, see, Ralph, here's the thing.
That's awesome.
Yesterday was me for me. Like, I'm not you.
Hold on. Yesterday was you for you?
Right. I'm saying yesterday and tomorrow all still going to be me.
Right.
So you got to learn to embrace the suck. I mean, you basically have to learn just to accept it. It's not like if you came in one day and you had a Kevin day, you would go home super bummed.
Right.
Same day for me as yesterday. So I'm all right.
Okay.
But
you know it's not great, though, right?
Do I wish...
Even if it was every day for me, if I came in and did my job not so great every day, that eventually would catch up to me. I wouldn't be able to just go, okay, whatever.
Do I wish I could speak? Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, there we go.
Look, Kevin is like the puppy who can't use his back legs. He's not going to spend any time thinking about that. He's just going to concentrate on what he can do.
Yeah, but he's the puppy with no back legs. He's got the wheels and the strap to his ass. And somehow he's in the Westminster Dog Show. That's the thing. He's not just a puppy in the park going for a walk.
True.
He's in a thing where he needs to be. He needs to have all four legs.
Yeah.
I see.
The guy's making a living with no legs.
It's a mystery.
And he's
not
going to
lie. And he's a dog. All right. It's 7:54. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
All right. Do yourself a favor. Hell, do me a favor. Come out to see Hollywood Babylon on Friday night at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
Come on. We have a good time. No. You'll have a good time. Afterwards, I hang out at the bar. We have drinks. We chat. It's glorious.
You hang out at the bar?
Believe it or not.
Wow.
After the show, I've been known to have a cocktail or two. It's happening for the first time in a long time back on stage at the Improv on Melrose Friday night, 10 p.m., me and Kevin Smith bringing you Hollywood Babylon. We have a good time with that show. If you'd like to come out, you can go to improv.com to get more details and tickets.
Let me think about it.
Okay, Marge.
No.
Oh, come on.
Or you have Marge.
Speaking of tickets, Absinthe, the smash hit show out of Vegas, is now coming to L.A., to L.A. Live on May 15th. Kevin, you've seen Absinthe,
I have
right?
seen it, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. It's all about drinking and sex. What's
and,
not to
and
like?
And money, right?
And money, sure.
It's a crazy mixture of burlesque. So the ladies, it's got some ladies in it. Got some ladies.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't
it? Yeah. And acrobatics and comedy. And it's just unlike any show you've ever seen. AbsintLA.com is the place to go to get more information. But I want to give away some tickets right now so you can check it out at LA Live on May 15th. Why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that particular phone number, we'll get a pair of tickets to see Absinthe at LA Live on May 15th. Boy, May's right around the corner, right?
Yes, it is.
It's already one-third Christmas.
We're skyrocketing towards the holidays.
Don't encourage. What's wrong with you?
We're on a toboggan going down the hill to Christmas Town.
He started today with that.
Aren't we going down the hill to Christmas Town?
Yeah, come on.
As a matter of fact, we are, Ralph. Thank you.
Come on now.
It's practically Christmas Eve right now.
It's April 25th.
I'm already sweating behind on my shopping.
You should be because it's a third Christmas already.
Not a thing.
And, you know, 5/12 Christmas is only 1 month away, so look out.
I feel like wrapping needs to start happening. Tonight.
You're not wrong.
Speaking of Bean and his weirdness, his boyfriend Zac Efron's in the news. His co-star in Baywatch, Kelly Rohrbach.
I'd rather not be able to speak than to make that noise after you say Zac Efron, by the way.
His co-star, Kelly Rohrbach, said that Zac Efron is one guy who sacrifices for his art. That those rock-hard six-pack abs he rocks in Baywatch just came from constant hard work and self-sacrifice. On the set, it was a hard and fast rule for everybody in the cast. No sugar, no gluten, no dairy.
Wow.
And every time the director would call cut, she said Zach would drop to the floor and do 50 push-ups.
Same.
50 push-ups? Holy crap. I don't think I've done 50 push-ups the past year.
I haven't done 50 push-ups in my life.
Added together.
Kelly says, though, she would sneak in some peanut M&Ms from time to time. Contraband. She would work it onto the set, so.
Oh, my gosh. I can't find it so beautiful.
Am I off base by saying I'm looking forward to that film? That
not at all. No, I totally am.
That trailer looks really funny.
Yes, until I saw the trailer, I was out.
I was the same way. Yeah. I was like, not necessary. Then, we don't need a Baywatch
then
film.
You see The Rock, and he's great. And yes. Zac Efron looks like he's really funny and has been before.
The script seems really funny.
Script is great, too. I'm excited.
I think there's a lot going on. I think it has a lot to offer.
You and I agree on a movie choice,
I know.
Right? Does that make you second guess it?
I think just by the law of averages, okay. Eventually we're going to cross paths when it comes to a film.
Okay, good.
By the way, speaking of movie trailers, new trailer dropped, I think, yesterday for Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
Oh, that looks so good.
Yay! Oh my so chubby.
Right?
I fully tented my pants.
It
looks
too.
Even better than the first one.
Did you say me too?
Yes.
Okay.
Colin Firth shaves at the end. Oh, yes.
Was that your favorite
that
part of the trailer?
That was your takeaway from the film?
I love
Colin
Firth.
Was it Colin Firth shaving and
well,
an eye patch?
You know my feelings about Colin
Firth. But there's
Firth.
So much else
there's
going
so much.
On.
And Channing Tatum.
And Jeff Bridges.
And Eggsy. Oh.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
My favorite movies. Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jason Lee, 47 years old today. Joe Buck. He's 48. Renee Zellweger is also 48. Hank Azaria, who is so very funny in this new series, Brockmire. If you're not watching it on IFC, you should check it out. And Al Pacino, one of the great actors of our time, turned 77 years old today. If you follow me on Twitter, you can see a photo of Al and I in a movie called Two for the Money that we did together many years ago.
I saw him in that.
It's still hard for me to believe that that ever happened, that experience ever really passed.
I remember how excited you were when you were doing that.
And I still am, and it's surreal. Yeah. It's still one of the highlights of my life. And Al Pacino, 77 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Band Incubus is one of them playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, which is May 20th at StubHub Center. Tickets go on sale for street team members tomorrow at noon.
Speaking of shows, by the way, I was all prepared to make fun of this past weekend's Cannabis Cup in San Bernardino. Until I saw that they had Method Man and Redman there, 50 Cent was there, The Game, Nas, the Wu-Tang Clan, and for some reason, Lit. I mean, I don't get that. But what a lineup. And Muggs, you were there.
I was there on Sunday, the last day of the event, and holy moly, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I got high.
Yeah, we may have sent the wrong guy.
No, we sent the right guy.
Muggs was at the Cannabis Cup, and he did a bunch of interviews. And the first person that he talks to
now, hold on, Kevin, I'm sorry. The Cannabis Cup, you should explain, Muggs, what it's all about.
The Cannabis Cup is people come from all around the United States, really, mostly in California, vendors, new products, and they put their products on display, and they are judged for a Cannabis Cup. So if you win, say, for instance, best vape pen, you'll get a cup, and it's a highly coveted thing. I mean, people are serious about the Cannabis Cup. So it's weed entrepreneurs from all around and fans, and it was a good time.
I got to tell you, Beat and I went to Amsterdam for the Cannabis Cup, and it sucked compared to this.
Yeah, really?
Yes, it was terrible compared to this.
Wow.
I think the industry has come a long way in the last 20-something years.
No, this is the best one. I mean, this is the first Cannabis Cup I've ever been to, but I mean, I've been to like weed conventions, and I mean, nothing. I mean,
first class.
Everything pales in comparison to High Times Cannabis Cup for sure.
All right, so Muggs is doing interviews there, and he runs into a girl named Wolfie.
All right, I'm staying here with Wolfie. What is your favorite food of all time when you are the most stoned?
I love me a big bowl of fruit.
Does that surprise anyone?
Yes.
Well, that's good. No, fruit's good when you're stoned. It's very
really?
It's like extra juicy and extra flavorful.
It's not a Cheeto, though.
Right?
Sure. But, I mean, she liked, Wolfie liked to stay healthy, so.
All right.
Oh, did she?
Yes.
Wolfie did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and he follows up.
Type of activity you like to do when most stoned?
Go on adventures, like hikes. High hikes. High hikes are a thing. Get out and do something active.
Do you know what THC does? It blocks the pain receptors, and you can go harder on hikes.
I also like to smoke and work out.
I love smoking and working out.
Yeah.
Go anything. I'm like, I feel like I'm Batman when I do that. It's true.
I don't need to tell you that you're not, though, right?
Look at me. Have you seen me, Kevin?
Are you Batman?
Yes.
Okay, so Muggs runs into Ryan, and he doesn't have a lot to say to Ryan.
What was your name again?
Ryan.
Ryan? We'll go smoke a joint right now, you and me, Ryan.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Heck of an interview.
How can he do that? This is Emerald Farms,
yes.
And Bean, you're going to be tempted to jump in, as is Allie.
Mm-hmm.
Because the levels for the microphone are off a bit. But let it go because Muggs corrects it. He catches it
okay. And
corrects it.
We're lucky to live here. We're really lucky to be involved in cannabis. And now we're getting to share this with each other. It's a real special time to be a cannabis farmer in California right now.
I'm hitting a joint right now as we speak.
This right here is a new product. It is a company that is... owned half by men, half by women. It's a company that the social values really matter a lot to us, and that's never going away.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just realized that my mic was nowhere near you when I was interviewing you.
Because you're a stoner.
Because you're the biggest stoner in the world.
No one's having more fun than Muggs during this interview.
Amazing. How awesome is that?
That's great.
He's talking just so he was already talking and Mike.
Yes.
So you just dropped your hand.
Just slowly got into a high daze and just dropped. Didn't even realize it until I realized it.
All right. Wow. He's talking to a guy named Dr. Ken and some
Dr. Kent. Yes. Yep.
And some of Muggs's questions are not straight to the point.
I'm here with Dr. Kent and Kyle at Cannabis Cup 2017. I got to tell you guys, you would have to agree with my next statement, is that the movement's slowly getting there, but I mean, why marijuana isn't crushing major pharmaceuticals right now is like...
Okay, now I'd just like to point out, now Muggs isn't miking himself.
Right. He's dozing off in the middle of his question.
Now he's actually dropped the mic while talking. It's not even someone else.
The movement's slowly getting there, but I mean, why marijuana isn't crushing major pharmaceuticals right now is like... It really is a healer. It's a healing plant that God planted on the earth. Since the dawn of man, humans and Neanderthals, they've been consuming cannabis. I got to tell you, I've had a lot to ingest today. So I'm, you know, guys, I mean, I've been here. I'll speak for myself on this one, but I have actually...
Who else would you speak for?
Right? Sure.
And you've been speaking for yourself this entire interview.
Yeah.
And by the way... I don't even know that Dr. Kent is there.
Yeah.
He's interviewing a doctor, and Muggs is telling him what's up.
So I'll speak for myself on this one, but I have actually, when edibles were first hitting the scene, I guess, you know, I had maybe taken too many milligrams. And
which is not uncommon.
And started to have hallucinogenic effects to the point where... I thought I was on PCP, and I've never done PCP. I don't know what the effects of PCP would be like.
Just no miking.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Not a word from Dr. Kent.
Dr. Kent and Kyle from Trokey were very, very kind to me as I conducted a terrible interview.
Well, I mean, Muggs did get higher and higher every single time.
He did.
So now he talks to Jesus Hands. This is the guy that changed the Hollywood sign to Hollyweed.
Okay.
Super awesome guy, by the way.
And Muggs... I'm not positive, but I think Muggs wants to date him. He's very, very excited about him.
Jesus Hands, the best artist, in my opinion, this side of the United States of America, possibly the world. Did you see? You saw his artwork on January 1st of this year.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And the fact that he was able to pull it off, I mean, the logistics that go into scaling the side of a mountain with a humongous sign on it.
All right, well, you ask him about that, so let's listen.
Because on January 1st, Hollyweed happened, and, dude, it got so much acclaim, and for a while, you left up your little signature. What was it? Your signature was...
At Jesus Hands,
and it took a while for people to be like, who did this? Yeah. And then, boom, it came out. First of all, how did you get up there to do that? I mean, holy crap.
So, it was a mission to get up there, you know what I mean? The planning was, a little bit orchestrated through, I guess, maybe, Google Maps, I guess.
I'm sorry, Jesus Hands, we don't... Tell me when you've heard an upbeat.
I hiked it 2 weeks prior. So, I navigated prior to...
I don't need the deep background on how he got up there, if that's what you're asking.
Well, he wasn't miking him anyway, so it doesn't...
And as I'm interviewing him, there's people, like, lined up watching this interview. And KG, who's in on 420, who delivered the beer, the THC beer, he was having to put my hand back up to his mouth.
He was holding your arm?
He was holding my arm up because he realized that... And I had no... I was not aware of it at all.
Really? What a surprise.
That's amazing.
And finally, Muggs talks to a guy who makes lollipops.
Yeah. Oh.
And you eat the candy, and then you plant the stick, and a weed plant grows.
That's called Halflit. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
And Muggs really does believe that it's the most amazing thing he's ever
What's
seen.
What's your name?
Chester.
Chester, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Go for it.
So our.
By the way, I just like to say, I just like to say that works. Have you heard Muggs' questions? I mean, maybe go for it.
It gets to the point,
right? He's like, okay, you go.
That's good.
I think maybe that was the best question that you've ever asked.
Should I start doing that?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Chester.
Chester, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Go for it.
So our product just officially released 2 days ago. It's an organic lollipop. You eat the lollipop, plant the stick, and grow your own cannabis.
That is beautiful. That is a beautiful thing right there. Grows into a beautiful plant.
Yes.
Chester, that is the coolest thing I think I've ever heard of.
He doesn't even
He's
know what
dynamic.
To say. He's just like, I just explained that to you.
Grows into a beautiful plant.
Yes.
Chester, that is the coolest thing I think I've ever heard of in my life. I never thought of that in my life. I love lollipops, and I love weed. And the fact that a lollipop that has THC in it turns into a weed stick at the end of its journey is... mind-blowing.
And then Muggs fell over.
Oh, my God.
Muggs, have you ever been higher than that? That's a tough question
a
for Muggs
time.
To remember.
Not in a long time, but that was definitely up there in high levels. Thank
right?
you, guys.
Yeah. Ladies right. and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Now, that was excellent work.
All right, phone lines are open right now for you at 1-800-520-1067. You know, we're giving away so much great stuff this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, and this time, you're going to love it. It's a 4-pack of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. You'll see it this Saturday at the AMC in downtown Disney. Great location, great movie. Get a chance to see it ahead of it opening up. Plus, we'll throw in a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets. Anything in particular we are looking for this time around, Kevin?
I think they need to be familiar with this story.
And with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, the characters in this story.
All right, if you know and love the first Guardians movie, you are primed to see the second one. Call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next on K-Rock. Ralph Garman, you are here.
I am.
Bearing gifts today.
I am bearing gifts. How about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
Come on.
Can't wait.
At the AMC in downtown Disney and tickets for the Disneyland Resort. That's the package. That's the whole package right there.
All right.
That's a good package.
It's a great package.
Right?
We're going to need that.
So we're going to give them away, but you're going to have to know something. I'm not going to give them away to any jamoke.
What do they have to know?
They got to know their guardians.
If you want some passes to the land that is Disney, and you want to see Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2. Which guardian is it? You will have to know. Don't mess it up. Then you won't go. No! You're Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2!
First of all, our R.I.P. Omar, and second of all,
can we bring him back to life somehow? Well, can we make a deal with Thanos?
I'm sorry, he's passed away, but we do have contestants on the line who are there to know their guardians, Ralph, so let's find out who's first.
All right, first up is Bill in Santa Fe Springs. Hi, Bill.
Hey, what's happening, party people?
Okay, Bill, it's going to be pretty simple. I'm going to play you a little audio clip from one of the characters from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. You just need to identify the character, okay?
All right, man.
All right, it's pretty simple. Here is your clip.
Ronan murdered my wife, Ovet. Then my daughter, Chimeria. He slaughtered them where they stood. And he laughed! Well, her life is not yours to take.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Upset that dude.
Ooh.
That is Drax the Destroyer.
Drax!
Nicely done.
Drax!
All right, he's in the drawing. We
he
are
is in the drawing, yes.
Two pairs to give away, so everyone who qualifies is there for the drawing.
All right, let's go to Palmdale. Say good morning to Brad. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, Brad.
Good morning, guys.
Brad, are you a fan of the original Guardians of the Galaxy film?
Oh, yes.
Okay, this should be easy for you. We're going to play you a clip, and you have to identify the character. Here we go.
When Thanos took my home world, he killed my parents in front of me. He tortured me, turned me into a weapon. When he said he was going to destroy an entire planet for Ronan, I couldn't stand by.
That is Gamora.
You're damn right it is.
Look at that. All right.
By the way, just hearing this audio makes this movie sound a lot darker than it was.
It was pretty dark. It was very dark with sort of light with highlights.
If you haven't seen the original Guardians of the Galaxy, it's great.
It is outstanding. It's a great film. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Rob in Tustin. Hi, Rob.
How's it going?
Rob, you're the lucky one. Here is your clip. You need to identify this character from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1.
Oh, yeah!
That would be Groot.
That would be Groot,
yes.
Of course. Legendary thespian Vin Diesel is
How
Groot.
Did you decide which clip to pull from Groot?
So many. He's got so many great lines in that film.
He sure does.
We just picked one of them.
All right.
Three for three. Three up, three down.
Next up is Tony in Northridge. Hi there.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Tony. Here is your clip from Guardians of the Galaxy.
If we're going to get out of here, we're going to need to get into that watchtower. And to do that, I'm going to need a few things. The guards wear security bands to control their ins and outs. I need one.
Leave it to me.
That dude there. I need his prosthetic leg.
Oh.
It's a great scene. What character is that?
That would be Rocket.
It would be Rocket Raccoon.
Look at that. All right, you hold on.
That's a handsome boy. What's his name? Will Cooper. What's his name?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper, yeah. Well, he played Will in Alias. I always think it was Will. That may be my favorite performance of his of all time.
No kidding.
And he's been great in a lot of movies.
He really has, yeah.
But Rocket Raccoon is so unlike anything he's ever done before, and he's brilliant in that.
All right, let's go to another Will in Costa Mesa. Hi, Will.
Hey, guys.
Will, I'm going to play a character from the first film. You need to identify him. Here we go.
Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Then bring it down hard. Someday, put it together.
What are you doing?
Dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello.
Man, I was super worried after all those easy ones, but this is Star-Lord.
You're right.
Nicely done.
We would have accepted Peter Quill as well. Congratulations. Hold on. We have time for one more?
Sure. Let's bring in Angel in North Hollywood. Hi there.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey, Angel. Here is your character from the first Guardians film. Identify this one.
They call me terrorist. Radical. Zealot. Because I obey the ancient laws of my people, the Kree, and punish those who do not.
All right, Angel.
Scary dude.
That is Ronan the Accuser.
Ronan, you're Look absolutely right. These people know they're guardians.
Clean sweep, you guys. So Bill and Brad and Rob and Tony and Will and Angel and all the girls who called are in the drawing. Only two will win tickets that include not only the movie advance screening this Saturday at AMC Downtown Disney, but also a four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets. Miss Allie McKay, who are our winners, please?
Brad and Will.
Brad and Will.
Yeah! Brad and Will.
Congratulations. Enjoy the movie and thanks for playing the game.
No! Your Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2!
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
I'm feeling soon soonish, at least for new Muse music. I think that album's going to come out probably by the end of the summer, I would think. So very excited about that.
Same.
Don't you? I love those bands. Yeah, make more records, guys.
Love them.
New Muse music, by the way. Good on you, sir, for getting that out. That's not easy.
Tough, yeah.
New Muse music. New Muse music. New Muse music. Kevin, you tried a couple times.
Nope.
Come on. We're all friends, right?
New Muse music.
Oh, look at that. How about that? Hands in the air like Rocky.
Okay, knock it out a few more times, though.
Nope.
It's 8:54, time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday morning. Here's Ralph.
Nice ratings for the season opener of Fargo, which pulled in 3 million total viewers in the three-day ratings category. You know they do that now with DVRs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real good opening for a cable series, and it's up 8% over the previous season of Fargo, probably due to the star power I'm thinking of, Mr. Ewan McGregor, who is amazing in it. Have you seen it? You guys seen it? You watched
it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. It's hard to believe that's Ewan McGregor.
Looks twice. Nothing like him.
Twice,
looks
nothing like him, yeah.
Yeah, remarkable. Cannot wait.
I loved the first two seasons of Fargo. Loved them.
Ugh.
I don't want to ever hear that sound again.
You loved them a little too much, I think.
I'm just saying.
It's just TV, man, right?
Listen. Don't say it's just TV to Bean.
Oh, that's true.
That,
I know what I'm
that's
thinking.
The ultimate for
that's
him.
My religion.
Right.
Ben Affleck.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Is a guy who started his career as a child actor and then became a teen actor and then, of course, now is a superstar. And he is mad enough to admit that his work as a child actor gave him a boost in Hollywood. But he said in an interview with People Magazine this week that he would not let his three little ones launch into a career as an actor.
I don't blame him.
He said they're going to have to wait at least until they're 18 years old when they can make their own decisions. Then if they want to get into the entertainment business, they can. But in the meanwhile, they can just try out for the school play. If they want to act so bad, they can just do it in school and do whatever they want to do. He would not let them start in the industry.
All right.
I think that's reasonable.
And why does he say that? What about his experience has
here we go again with this.
I'm just asking. I'm asking what reason he gives.
Because it is simply too much pressure and financial expense and everything else to put on a child's shoulders, I think. It's not something that kids should have to deal with.
Not to mention a lot of disappointment, right?
Yes. Yes. And you think about it, it's the only passion that a child may show an interest or a predisposition for that kids get forced into a career path at that age. If you're a kid and you show you've got a disposition for science or math or something, they don't make you get a job at, you know, at a nuclear reactor or something if you like physics. You wait until you're a grown-up person and you get mature and you learn your stuff and then you
go
into the acting
world.
Nobody
is forced to stay being an actor if they decide they age out of it or they don't like it anymore. Nobody has to do it. You can do it at 10 and then decide to not do it anymore, can't you?
But you shouldn't be doing it at 10 is what the point is.
Hmm.
Bean and I always have this argument.
You do.
We disagree over this.
Well, I feel like until you're 18, all kids should throw rocks at their neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Right. Well, that's your just theory of childhood in general. Right.
Look, I'm not saying I disagree with you that
Ben Affleck
in general
Ben Affleck says something and he knows a little something about something.
He does, but that doesn't mean that that's the right decision for all families. There are some kids who love it and want to do it and end up loving having done it.
Well, stop using words and listen to me.
Bean is upset that his parents never got him into child acting.
Right?
I think he
would have been great.
He wanted to be on Zoom. And it just didn't work out for him.
I would never have done that. But the point is, it's okay for some kids. Look, did Ron Howard ever have a bad day? No.
Yes, of course he did. What's wrong with you?
Never.
Not once.
Not one time.
Bean does not know how life works.
wonderful days every day.
That's what I'm saying.
Even when Aaron Moran passed away, he was whistling Dixie when he lost his little TV sister. He was just blowing bubbles out of his bum.
But I'm just saying, it's easy to paint every child actor with that brush.
Because
that
the vast majority of them end up as car wrecks.
Some do. Some do,
most
many don't.
Do.
But
Mass,
there's a
most.
But there's a lot of Justin Timberlakes. There's a lot of Jodie Foster.
There aren't a lot of them.
Those are exceptions,
right?
But there are enough exceptions to say that you can't universally say all child actors are making a mistake
never,
by following
never
their hearts.
Said they were, but the the odds are certainly against them. And so that's why parents who love their kids don't put them in that position to fail. And
or
to
give
unhappy.
Them the opportunity to shine.
This is the exact same argument.
Here's
the
what I love.
Exact same argument.
Here's what I love.
From last time.
Bean has no kids. That's what I love. And he right. argues this with everyone.
Yes.
Because
he's got strong child feelings. All his child rearing
right.
has led him to believe this.
Look, right. I don't think a parent is wrong if they don't want their kid to go into it. But I also don't think they're wrong if they do.
Why don't you shut up for about a week?
Make it more like last week.
Now we're out of time. I can't even tell you about the most boner-inducing divorce in history.
I mean, Dong. Tell us. We have time for that.
We don't have time.
We have it.
We'll have to wait.
We have time.
We're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait. Friday night, 10 p.m., me and Kevin Smith, we're doing Hollywood Babylon. Come out and join us. We need you. We need you out there to give us some love. Go to improv.com to get more info on your tickets. Sorry, we're out of time. Today's celebrity birthdays, Al Pacino, my old buddy Al.
Ooh, I was not a child actor because my parents loved me. Ooh,
he said to me once.
Al looks good for 77 years old, by the way.
He does.
Agreed.
That hair. You got to do something with that hair. He's got nutty hair.
He's always had nutty hair.
Not always. Nope. Hank Azaria is 53. Renee Zellweger is 48. Her face is 3. Joe Buck's 48 as well. And Jason Lee turns 47. What?
What does that mean?
Renee Zellweger.
Uh-huh.
She's got a new
it's
face.
It's a plastic surgery joke.
She's unrecognizable.
She is not.
Oh, stop it.
Have you seen her?
Yes. Have you seen her recently?
Do you remember when it all went down? Everybody was like, who is that woman pretending to be Renee Zellweger?
She looked a little different. She's
back. A little different.
She's back. She looks the same now.
She was in a witness relocation program.
No. She looks the same now. Things changed.
What?
As she did before.
Shut up, fool.
Jason
Shut up, Mr. T.
Jason Lee is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wow. Two of you right together.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Good job, Chip.
Good. That was a sesh?
Yeah.
106.7
Kevin. That one down.
Is KROQ. This is the Kevin DeBean Show. It's 9:36.
Whatever you do.
That is Ralph muttering to himself. I'm not sure what's happening here.
No,
but
I'm talking to my friends, okay?
Oh, okay. All right. Friends in quotes. First, though, another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Someone's checked out.
Someone's worked with me too long.
Congratulations to HGTV. You guys big fans of the HGTV?
What shows do they have?
No.
They've got Flip or Flop.
Oh, yeah. Flip or Flop. Sure.
They've got Beachfront Bargain.
They don't have...
Beachfront Property Bargain and Riverfront Property Bargain.
They don't have the House Hunter show, do they? Is that them?
They used to, yeah. Or is that TLC?
That's TLC, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
My wife's obsessed with
Oh, House Hunters, yeah.
Fixer Love House Hunters.
Fixer Upper.
Property
yeah.
Brothers, right?
Right.
One's a contractor, one's a realtor.
But they're twins. How do you tell them apart?
Crazy.
One's got a tool belt.
But what about the best one? Love It or List It.
Love It or List It.
I've not seen, List It is awesome.
I've not seen a so second good. Of any of these shows.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Now, Flip or Flop, those were the stars of Tarek and Christina El Moussa.
Mm-hmm.
The wildly attractive couple who was going through a bitter, bitter divorce.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, what's this going to mean to Flip or Flop? So they put Flip or Flop Vegas on the air, right? Trying to hedge their bets. We're not falling for it, HGTV. We want our OG Flip or Flop.
Oh, it's a different couple in Vegas?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Well, you'd be happy to hear that Tarek and Christina El Moussa have re-signed with HGTV for a whopping 20 episodes of a seventh season starting this December.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Which is going to be awesome because not only is it going to be full of great tips on how to improve their home and then flip it for cash, but you get to watch a wildly uncomfortable people, a pair of people who hate each other trying to work together. That's going to lay a whole new level of tension to the show.
I think don't we get
take
enough
down
of that?
This. I think we should take down this wall right here. Oh, I bet you do. Just like you took down the walls to your vagina for that guy. It's going to be that kind of stuff going on.
I'm in.
Divorces are great. Well, who am I telling? You guys know.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very into divorce.
Kevin and Bean have like 8 of them between the two
really?
Of them.
Really?
Yeah. But neither of you has a divorce as boner-inducing as this one. I got to tell you, the more details I read about this, the more I like it. Mel B. is divorcing that piece of garbage, Stephen Belafonte, that she was married to.
Mm-hmm. Now, he was abusive, right?
Yes.
Right.
Mel B. claims he was very abusive. And that also, Mel B. claims in the paperwork she filed, as well as saying publicly, that part of the problem was their nanny, Lorraine, the 20-something smoking hot blonde German girl they hired to be the nanny.
Go on.
Was often part of their lovemaking because Stephen would make them have a threesome together.
It is so romantic.
I sort of have a boner.
Now, Lorraine, the nanny, has fired back at Mel B, saying, how are you saying these things, that I'm a homewrecker, that I've done all these things, when you know that you and I had a 7-year romantic relationship
while
you were married to
Steve. Yeah.
Oh, apart from the threesomes.
Yes.
Oh.
Lorraine says often Steven's only participation in the threesomes, as she calls them, was as cameraman, she says.
It is getting steamy in here.
That's not so much a part of it.
Right?
Hmm.
Yeah, that's hot.
And Lorraine says it's actually she. Lorraine was the victim because she says, here I was, just an 18-year-old girl from Germany who was seduced into a life of fame, alcohol, and easy sex.
How old was she, Ralph?
Oh, my God.
I said how old.
We're all having a good time.
We're still having a good time.
You ruined it.
You ruined my threesome.
How did I ruin it?
Because you entered the conversation. That's how.
By asking for details. How did I ruin it?
How old was she, Ralph?
She was 18.
How old was she?
I thought we were all on board with her being 18. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh my
God. Are you ready to get sexy?
Yeah.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Now, Lorraine was apparently upset that Stephen was already married to Mel B, so she told him that she was going to have a threesome with him, but he had to put the blindfold on, and then she took out a sickle.
No!
Yes! She took out a sickle and cut his penis up, and the neighbors saw that there was a threesome going on.
I don't think any of that's true.
What? They were neighbors.
I don't think any of that is true.
I wanted to have more details of the story, but I lost page 2.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's super cool and sexy. Super sexy cool.
There's a picture of Mel B and this nanny on a paddleboard together in their bikinis.
Right.
I don't know what went on there, but I just... Poof.
You're in?
Boof. Right?
Right.
Boof.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's how it's done. Oh, yeah.
Just... And you know... You know how lazy and sloppy and useless we are?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How are we going to be when we're 94?
Just a lot more that way.
That's what I'm thinking.
Bean will be dead, but I mean the rest of us will be a lot more that way.
I will have 20 years left to live at 94.
Right.
But Norman Lear, mega producer Norman Lear, writer producer, TV icon Norman Lear. He's the opposite of us.
He's All in the Family's Norman Lear, right?
All in the Family, the Jeffersons, Good Times. Maude, a laundry list of classic television. Not to mention feature films as well.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Yeah. He's just announced he's debuting his podcast. He's doing a weekly podcast now at 94.
That's awesome.
He said, it's circling 95. I wanted to wait until my life was over to launch a podcast. Until half my life was over to launch a podcast. His first episode, the first podcast, which will begin next week, May 1st. Here's his lineup of guests. Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Gerard Carmichael, and America Ferrera.
Holy crap!
Yeah, that's his first episode. So Norman Lear, at 94, is just crushing the rest of us.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
I do too. What happened to them, by the way?
They're all dead now.
Oh. Today, celebrity birthdays. He's 94.
Right.
Yeah.
94.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jason.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
Oh, my God.
He is a creative genius. And we will not have you dismiss him such.
Gene, I can't believe you would play that.
I'd be
so insensitive.
How old is he?
I was just asking to make sure we were all cool with the story you were telling. That's all.
Jason Lee is 47 years old today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Sports announcer Joe Buck.
Oh, see what you did?
He's 48 years old today. Renee Zellweger is also 48. Hank Azaria is 53 years old today. Love me some Brockmire. If you're not watching IFC, you should tune in. It's very funny. And Al Pacino. Guy's done some work, hasn't he? 77 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got your Disneyland tickets along with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And we said we were going to do Would You Like to Take That Back today, but we lied.
See how we treat you?
But tomorrow, we mean it. Tomorrow, we're going to do it on the Kevin and Bean show.